Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. In the time that Jill Anaponicek has been the artistic director of Milwaukee Opera Theater, audiences have been guaranteed of a unique theater-going experience. Ponicek specializes in making opera fun and highly theatrical without sacrificing musical quality.
This weekend's performance of the multimedia chamber opera Song from the Uproar will be no different.
Uproar is about the real-life adventures of a Swiss explorer. It's a collaboration with Wild Space Dance Company and features dancers, ensemble singers, and a chamber orchestra, along with a lead character on the tiny studio theater space at the Broadway Theater Center.
Colleen Brooks will sing the lead role. Deb Lowen of Wild Space is the choreographer, and the entire production is stage directed by Jill Anna. All three join me now, and Jill Anna tells us more about the person on whom the show is based.
It's inspired by the diaries of Swiss adventurer Isabel Eberhardt.
The true to life, the real person.
Yes. A real, yes. True to life person who roamed nomadically through North Africa at the turn of the 20th century on her own as a young woman.
And this is something obviously was not done.
We think she's the first.
Yeah. I read that she was the first hippie.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Someone quoted her
right?
as. Yeah. I just read that this morning.
Before we get into the opera itself, when you did the research about her, how did she do this? Did she have means? You
know? She had no means.
Wow.
She had extremely limited means. Mm-hmm. She had lost her family. A mother, father, and brother had kind of died in quick succession of different ailments. And at age 20, she responded to a voice inside and left for Algeria and lived as a nomad. She just integrated herself into the existing culture and
learned the language.
Yeah, she was already fluent.
Okay.
She was multilingual as a child. She had a tutor that taught her several languages, and she wrote and spoke Arabic.
So there she is, you know, having this incredible adventure.
Right.
You know, it's the kind of thing where I think about it and I think, you know, that was me at 12 wanting to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's also one thing to have the adventure, and it's another thing to have her skills as a writer to describe what it is she's seeing and the senses and the smells. And especially she has such a passion for the desert and for the landscape, and her descriptions are just exquisite. So that's
yeah, they're goosebump. Her sunrises, sunsets, the light on the sand. She rode horseback through the desert in the middle of the night. She slept in the sand. I mean, she was really in touch with the earth, in touch with the rhythm of the desert, and completely infatuated with the Sahara.
So, Colleen, this must be fun.
Yeah.
That's one word. To find her, you know, to actually find this character and portray her.
Especially, like you said, since she was a real person, we don't always get that in opera. So I have been just channeling her lately as we're putting together the last scary pieces of everything. I've been channeling Isabel. just help us tell your story, because that's what she wanted, being a writer. And that's what she wanted, was her story to be told. So we're honored to be able to do it.
And we were talking just before we turned on the microphones. Deb, you were saying that dance was not included in the original production
that's
of this,
correct.
But they wanted it to be.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how are you integrating
There are four dancers, but there are also the moving elements, because the flood happens, and we see that, and the props and elements come and go constantly. And so everybody is involved in moving those objects. And then we also had to find a way in the studio theater to have people seated when they're off stage. So there also is a movement score in some ways for 9 to 10 benches, drawing benches, that get moved around and placed in different formations. So the space changes constantly, and everything that moves I'm kind of in charge.
You're part of
a lot of the movie. It's not just the bodies and how they move, but also just coordinating where things need to be and how to be as provocative with that bare space as possible, mm-hmm. given that we're trying to make this very unusual kind of landscape for people.
Well, and not only that, you're fitting in an orchestra.
Yeah, there's a five-piece chamber ensemble.
Yes.
on the stage of the studio theater. Yeah, it's a 17-person show.
On the stage of the studio theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we are not small in number.
No.
And it's scored, it's a really eclectic ensemble scored for clarinet, flute, piano, bass, and electric guitar, plus electronics. So there are six singers that are live on stage, but there's also an electronic score of pre-recorded singing tracks. So sometimes they're singing along with other singers who aren't in the space. There's a ghostly, haunted quality that's really beautiful. It's so stunning. It's like nothing we have ever done before. So there's been, like, we are so far outside
Joanna,
of our comfort zone.
You say that every single time you come in here.
It might be something of a habit.
Yeah.
But
there's the explorer in you.
There
right?
is. Yes. Yeah. And I think, yes, and I felt connected to Deb in that way, too, with the way that she runs Wild Space and that there was something for both of us to discover together in this piece as collaborators.
And have you? Mm-hmm. Do you feel you have?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've learned so much.
Just working with dancers who are moving and then having someone right next to them singing is a very different experience than having someone that's pre-recorded or even having a saxophonist in the distance. Or it's much more intimate. You really have to the personality of both the characters, but also the personality of the singer is there with the dancer, and watching the intimacy that unfolds in that, in those relationships has been really fascinating for me.
Why do you think the creators of this piece wanted to make it a chamber opera as opposed to, say, a play
or a song cycle
or something?
I haven't asked that question, but I should.
Yeah.
I'll send an email today.
Please do, because it's such an interesting choice.
We have bantered about ourselves about what to call it. You know, we've had our own, like, insider discussions of, is it really a chamber opera, or does it resemble a song cycle, and what unifies it, and what boundaries are they pushing, and what templates are they conforming to? Because they're really playing a lot within a tradition, but also nudging it into something new. And there isn't another piece that's like this. It really is its own peculiar creation.
Yeah. And this is a very different production from the New York production. And one of the conceits that we arrived at was, what happens if we consider that the flood has happened and that the people who are coming upon this site are from a neighboring village or archaeologists, and they're uncovering the story. So they're in khaki pants and work shirts, and they're finding the pages of Isabel. And so that's how we tell her story, is just through their movement and through their placement of objects and giving things, and Isabel finds things. And so it's a very different approach from the New York production.
And we should say the flood, that's how she died.
Yeah, right? She died in a flash flood in a small village in Algeria. She was 27, and the flood killed 23 people in the village.
There's so many surreal things about her life, right? I mean,
and the people pulled her journals from the wreckage, her writing. She had journals, she had novels, she had articles, she had a mass of writing materials. And they dried them off and tried to preserve them. But some parts of her journals are missing. They weren't found. And so there are gaps in her own version of her life story, which I think are really beautifully cared for in this piece. Like, it's acknowledged that we don't have the complete story of Isabel. And so, yeah, our kind of central activation was that we talked a lot about the ways that communities come together to help save one person's story, whether it's a tornado in a Midwestern town or a flood in Algeria in, you know, 1904.
And why that person's story is important. You know, I mean, I think everyone's story is important, but sometimes there's one where everyone kind of recognizes, wow, this one's really important, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems like she was one of those. She had one of those.
And I think she wanted her story to be that important. I mean, she even says, and a quote, "I'm not afraid of death, but I don't want to die in a meaningless way." And so, I mean, that's the whole thing. She survived, like you said, she had no means, so she was always sick. She survived that. She survived
an assassination attempt,
right? And then to die in the desert in a flash flood. I mean, there's a way.
Right?
There's a way to get yourself remembered if you're trying to have
a story with some rock and roll life.
Yeah, she would have been. She would have, you know, died young in the punk movement. You know, in the 70s.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
She would have
right.
been.
I mean,
Sid
she was
Nancy,
doing drugs. Yeah. I mean, she was doing.
Oh yeah,
smoking, drinking. I mean, lots of things could have killed her.
She did all of the things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, all of the things that could be done were done.
Yeah,
yep.
She did life big.
Well,
yeah,
she embraced,
go big or
she
go
embraced
home.
Islam. She embraced Islam in an amazing way, and she writes a lot about that. And she has many lovers and has betrayals and is introduced to very secret private sex where people have not, where they embrace her. And she's just amazing in terms of the breadth of what she does in her 7 years. That's the other thing, not just her intellectual capacity, but what she does with her time there is just...
What she jammed in 7 years, most of us don't do in an entire life.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is fantastic how you only have 3 days.
I know, right? I know. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, poof, like a flash. It's done.
It's like that flash flood, you know. Hopefully we won't be pulling things out of the wreckage.
No, let's not.
Let's not do that. But is there a thought that with so much work and so much effort that you are going to try to remount this at some point?
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
We're going to try and get through the first production first.
Yeah.
One day at a time, Bonnie. And then we'll start dreaming.
Well, I'm just thinking this is such a great story.
It is. It's an amazing piece. It has been a gift to get to know it and to merge MOT and Wild Space. It's been a thrill.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. Is this going to happen again now that you've worked together? Or
yeah,
you're
we
like,
have to do
oh,
something.
God, no more.
Oh, oh my gosh, no.
No. It's been
good.
Great. It's been really wonderful. I've enjoyed every minute.
So things possibly in the future.
Hope so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hope so, yeah.
Good. And Colleen, for you?
I hope to work with these guys a lot more.
But you're at UWM, right?
Yes, I'm at UWM. So, yeah, I could not pass this opportunity up.
It's
been, like, the most frightening and the most freeing production I've ever been involved with.
And from the get-go, Joanna said, I have the perfect person for Isabel. So Colleen was, I mean, I know that there's collaboration between the organizations, but Colleen is central to this. I just sit in the studio. I sit and watch rehearsals, and every time she opens her mouth, I wrote down in my journal, I'm awestruck.
Yeah.
I'm just awestruck by what she does. So
I want to thank you for taking time out of rehearsal, because I know you don't have much time for rehearsal to come and talk to us. But my gosh, you know, break a leg. I can't say the thing for dance on radio.
Yes.
And I don't know.
Toy, toy, toy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so toy, toy, toy.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mezzo-soprano Colleen Brooks sings the role of Isabel in the Milwaukee Opera Theater production of Song from the Uproar. Deb Lowen of Wild Space Dance Company choreographs it, and Jill Anaponicek directs the production, which runs Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Broadway Theater Center's Studio Theater Space. There's a link to much more at wuwm.com.